Believe it or not, just over 1400 years ago, there was once a time when Christian monks and missionaries from the northern tip of Scotland to the mountains and grasslands of continental Europe looked not to Rome for spiritual guidance, but to Ireland. It was just to the north of modern-day Ulster, within the sprawling mass of islands and inlets that straddle the sea between modern-day Ireland and Scotland, that a revolution in thought and culture took place in the 6th century AD. It was there, at the very edge of the world, that Gaelic Christian immigrants from Ireland began to settle from around the 5th century onwards, firmly establishing themselves amongst the inhabitants of northern Britain. Unlike the inhabitants of Britain to the south of Hadrian's Wall, the Irish had had very little contact with the Romans over the years, and unlike the Picts to the north of the wall, they hadn't been forced to defend themselves against attacks from the south either. Before the fall of the Empire, Ireland had been seen as a backwards, primal place, harbouring little more than fugitives and bloodthirsty pirates. After the Empire fell, however, largely thanks to Christian missionaries pushing into the island during the 5th century, Ireland became the centre of a thriving, literary culture, and in time, actually fueled a resurgence of literacy and learning across the sea in Britain. All this was achieved largely through the efforts of a few hardy individuals. A handful of determined teachers amidst a sea of ruthless warlords. At the time of the advent of Christianity in Ireland, during the 5th and 6th centuries, the Emerald Isle had no centralised authority, nor towns or cities to speak of. Instead, it was comprised of as many as 150 minor kingdoms, ranging in size from small principalities to little more than hilltop fortresses. After gradually converting to Christianity throughout the 5th and 6th centuries, largely through the efforts of missionaries such as the famous St. Patrick, a Romano-Briton allegedly captured during a slave raid and brought over to Ireland as a young man, the Irish, for the most part, seem to have enthusiastically adopted their new faith. Before long, they took it upon themselves to spread this new faith to the still pagan Britons north of Hadrian's Wall. Early successes were then followed by further inroads amongst the rapidly relapsing inhabitants of the former province of Britannia, and in time, the pagan Anglo-Saxon newcomers who had come flooding into Britain from the east, just as the Irish themselves crossed over the sea to colonise the island's far northwesterly extremities. This war of the mind, fought during that mysterious time after the Romans pulled out of Britain and before the rise of the nations that we know today, would eventually not only help to define the cultural borders of the nations of Britain, but also spread its influence for a time out of Britain and Ireland into mainland Europe, to challenge the supremacy of Rome itself. When the famous King Oswald of Northumbria, probably the most powerful ruler in Britain at the time, sought to spread Christianity amongst his subjects in the 630s, he didn't use Roman priests to do it, but Irishmen, priests who had either been born in the Scottish Isles or in mainland Ireland, and now looked to their own centres of power in the north for guidance rather than Rome. More so than anyone else, it was the Irish who brought literary culture back to Britain after the exodus of the Romans. Chief amongst these Irishmen was Columba, the first abbot and the founder of the Abbey of Iona, which over the decades and centuries to come would become the most important Gaelic Christian site in Europe and one of the most important Christian sites in the world. Yet despite his later renown as one of the prime instigators of the Gaelic Church and the converter of the Picts of northern Britain, Columba's early life reflected the time he was born into. A brutal epoch of warlords and warriors, where only the strongest survived. True to the times that he lived in, Columba first travelled to the shores of the Hebrides as an exile, sent away from his native Ireland after a violent dispute with the local clergy escalated into a bloodbath known at the time as the Battle of the Book. Columba had probably been born in around 521, into a wealthy family of the Cenel Conall, a branch of the powerful Uí Néill dynasty who would eventually go on to dominate Ireland under the symbolic title of High Kings for much of the medieval period. As a direct descendant of the semi-legendary founder of the dynasty, denial of the 9 hostages, Columba was given an excellent education with the influential priest, Saint Cronathan. Eventually, Columba entered the monastic school of Mavilla at Newtownards under Saint Finian, who had himself been tutored by the patron saint of Wales, Saint David, an influential church figure at the time. Despite the intense breakdown of order in much of the rest of Europe in the wake of the Roman imperial collapse, the 6th century AD was a golden age for Ireland, a place where Roman authority had never reached, but now its religion and literary tradition had finally begun to take hold. In the wake of the collapse of the native Druidic tradition and the spread of the new Christian faith, the study of Latin learning and Christian theology in monasteries flourished. Columba became a pupil at the monastic school at Clonard Abbey, situated on the River Boyne in the centre of the country. During the 6th century, some of the most significant names in the history of Irish Christianity studied at this monastery, which may have had as many as 3,000 students during its prime. Columba was one of the 12 students of St Finian that eventually became known as the 12 Apostles of Ireland. Columba eventually completed his studies and was ordained as a monk. In 554, a pestilence is said to have torn through central Ireland, forcing Columba, by most accounts now a towering, imposing figure of a man, to return to his homelands in the north. The following years were marked by the foundation of several important monasteries at Derry, at the southern edge of Innishowen, Durrow, County Offaly, Kells, County Meath, and Swords. While at Derry, it is said that he planned a pilgrimage to Rome and Jerusalem, but did not proceed farther than Tours. Tradition asserts that sometime around 560, Columba became involved in a quarrel with his mentor, St Finian. Columba had allegedly copied a manuscript, which he intended to keep for his own use. St Finian disputed his right to keep the copy, and quite amazingly, this first recorded instance of a copyright dispute in history soon escalated into actual physical violence. Families were brought into it, and eventually a bloodthirsty pitched battle was fought in 561, known in its day as the Battle of the Book. Columba was very nearly excommunicated in the aftermath of the battle, but instead opted to travel north into exile in Britain. Columba himself seems to have been racked with guilt after the incident, and he apparently resolved to amend for his sins by converting as many souls for Christ as had perished in the terrible battle. He also had a political expedient for going to the Scottish Isles. It was there that the kings of Dalriada, distant relatives to his own kin, who were themselves Christians, had gradually migrated over the previous 2 centuries. There, they had taken advantage of the population displacement caused by the fall of the empire to set themselves up as rulers and lords of the various islands and archipelagos of modern-day Western Scotland. After sailing across the narrow sea in a wicker curragh, along with 12 companions, Columba made contact with the local Gaelic ruler. His kinsman, Conall MacComgaill, King of Dalriada, granted him the small island of Iona to be his base of power. It was from this base, situated by the Great Glen, the main east-west overland route through Scotland that led directly to the heartland of the Picts, that Columba and his followers would launch expedition after expedition to convert the then still pagan inhabitants of modern-day Scotland. Eventually, Columba's reputation as a holy man and his charismatic personality led to him adopting the role of a leading diplomat amongst the Gaelic and Pictish tribes of the north. He personally visited the leading Pictish ruler, Bride, King of Fortriu, at his base in Inverness, winning the king's respect, although not his conversion. Afterwards, Columba continued to play a major role in the politics of the north. He was very energetic in his work as a missionary, and in addition to founding several churches in the Hebrides under the protection of the Dalriadan kings, he worked to turn his monastery at Iona into a school for missionaries, eventually spreading Gaelic Christianity far into mainland Europe over the centuries to come, and producing some of the greatest works of art of the entire period. Columba was a renowned man of letters, having personally written several hymns, and being credited with having personally transcribed at least 300 books. Upon his death in 597, Columba was interred by his monks in the abbey he created on Iona. His legacy would continue to inspire generations of missionaries over the centuries to come. When King Oswald of Northumbria, who had himself spent his youth in exile at the court of the Dalriadan kings, looked to convert his people to Christianity, he looked not to Rome, but to Iona for guidance. The man sent to him, Aidan, the founder of Lindisfarne, would prove an integral ally for the rest of his reign, and instrumental in converting the Anglo-Saxons to Christianity. For centuries to come, Northumbria would continue to be influenced by the Gaelic Church, even after the Roman Church increasingly gained more and more headway in the rest of the island. In 794, Scandinavians descended upon Iona, ushering in a new devastating period for the formerly unassailable Gaelic kingdoms. Over the next century, the Irish inhabitants would either be replaced or forced to become part of a new Viking society. In 849, Columba's relics were finally removed from Iona and divided between the Picts and the Irish, signalling the beginning of the end for Gaelic Christianity, which would diverge into different creeds until it was eventually fully incorporated into the mainstream Catholic Church based at Rome.